Vítejte u podcastu Money on Air, který se zaměřuje na biznis, vztahy a osobní rozvoj. Zvu si sem hosty, kteří jsou velmi inspirativní a jsou experti ve svém oboru. Můžete se těšit na zajímavá, inspirativní témata, jelikož podcast je edukační a mým cílem je, aby vás právě témata vzdělávala a posouvala k vašemu lepšímu já. Krásný dobrý den, dámy a pánové, já vás vítám u další epizody mého podcastu Money on Air. A dnes to je speciální bonusová epizoda, která nebude v češtině, takže všichni milovníci angličtiny určitě doposlouchejte do konce. A i vy, kteří si v angličtině nejste třeba jistí, tak určitě tahle epizoda může být skvělá na procvičení vašich jazykových dovedností. Takže já přepnu do angličtiny a jdeme na to. So, hi everybody, welcome to my podcast Money on Air and my very special episode is with the special guest and let me introduce amazing Jay Lewis. Hi.
Hi. All right. Amazing. Interesting. Happy to be here.
I'm happy that you came and that we can record this episode because it's a really special time for me. Maybe I can say the story, how we met and why are you with me here and everything about it. So we actually met during Easter holiday in Budapest in a hostel. We got a friend and now you are here in Brno to explore a little bit. And I just had the idea to introduce you in my podcast and can be nice to have one episode in English and also about your country because it's also really really interesting for Czech people, I think, because you are from Alaska. So it's amazing. And I couldn't even believe it that I have here guy from Alaska. Wow, America. So one more time, welcome. And you can say for the first minute something about you, like introduce yourself.
Well, like you said, I'm Alaskan. I don't know. I personally don't feel like I'm all that interesting, so it's hard to know what to say. But yeah, I grew up in a tiny town of less than 2,000 people with no roads. Very much cut off from the rest of the world. So almost a year ago now, I decided that I was tired of being cooped up in the same state for my entire life and that I was just going to go explore. So that's why I'm here.
It's amazing. And we already talk about it. We talk about your country and how much it's different for us, actually, for me. So maybe you can say why you don't have a roads in your city and why it's like that. And we also talk about the differences in temperature. So it's also another special thing for us because we have four seasons weather during the year. So let's say it's normal, but you have like really different life.
All right, well, to answer the first question about the roads, Alaska is really big and there's not that many people. Like we're the biggest state by like more than twice the size. Like if you cut Alaska in half, it would the both halves would still be bigger than Texas, right? But our population is smaller than Rhode Island, like the smallest state in the United States. So there's just not really that many people up there. And since there's not that many people up there, there's not as much funding for infrastructure like that. Not to mention that the terrain is really not great in a lot of places. Like there's a lot of marshlands and wetlands and the short answer is it would just really be really expensive to connect a lot of those remote villages. And we talked about this the other day too, that there's a lot of places where there's seasonal roads that we call ice roads. Where sometimes some of the only available roads will be up in the winter because the ice freezes so thick in places that you can drive a car over it. So, but yeah,
it's very cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of remote native villages and fishing towns and places out in like in the Aleutian Islands and stuff like that that you can't get to by car or bus or anything because there's no roads. Like there's roads in the towns, but there's no roads interconnecting all of the towns and villages to each other. You have to either fly or get a boat to get there. So yeah, there's a lot of the time in Alaska, you'll be going down the road. There's a very common bumper sticker that people have on their car. That'll be something like my second car has wings or my second car is a plane or something like that. Cause it's true for a lot of people. A lot of them have like the little like four seater bush planes with pontoons that they can land on one of the lakes or rivers all over the state. So yeah, it's very, very remote. It's called the last frontier for a reason. Definitely. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. And about the temperature, I know that, you know, you talk that you are from city where during the summer is around 30, 32 degree. Mm-hmm. And during the winter, there is like minus 50. So it's wow. And I was like, how you can even survive there, you know, minus 50 degree. It's wow.
Yep. Well, the first half of my life was in Cordova, Alaska. The temperature swing is not nearly as much there because it's a coastal town. It's a little fishing town. That's the town of 2,000 people that I was talking about. So not as much of a crazy temperature swing, but the amount of rain and snow that we get there is crazy sometimes. Like we have rainstorms that can last for a full week or more sometimes, just pouring down without ever stopping. And one time, specifically back in the winter of 2011 to 2012, we still refer to that now as the Cordova snowpocalypse because there was a stretch of about a month where it was snowing. Oh boy. I just realized I can't talk about like feet and inches here. just roughly guessing, but about it could be like a sixth to a third of a meter of snow every day. It'd be like that much every single day. So we would be outside like shoveling or with a snow blower or something every single day. We had to call the National Guard in to help us because the whole town was just getting buried and people's roofs were caving in and stuff just from the weight of the snow.
Wow.
Then when I was a teenager, we moved to Fairbanks, which is the area that I was telling you about, which is interior Alaska, the area where Fairbanks is the harshest place on the planet in terms of difference in temperature, summer to winter, where human beings have survived. The record high temperature in the summer is... I'm trying to calculate from Fahrenheit to Celsius. So my numbers might be wrong. Don't quote me on this. but yeah, it's something like high 30s in the summer. And then, the negative 50, negative 55, something like that in the winter. In Fahrenheit, it's 90 above in the summer, 70 below in the winter is the record. I'm not that good at doing that math in my head. So somebody else is going to have to run the calculations on that.
Yeah, don't worry. But still, you know, it's amazing for us. And I cannot even imagine, like, I can imagine like minus 15, maybe minus 20 because I was in Sweden. But minus 50, it's for me like unbelievable. Wow. And like we also talk about that, like every teenager, everybody almost has a car. Mm-hmm. So how it's going, the car, if it's minus 50? How it's possible?
Basically every teenager has a car. And I think that's pretty typical for most of the United States, but it's especially necessary in Alaska because the public transportation system is so bad. It's basically non-existent. So you either have a car or you're walking, which is, you know, I mean, you can do it you can layer up like an astronaut with like seven different layers of coats and go out in minus 50 degree weather, but it's not fun. So yeah, no, we try to avoid that. But yeah, especially during those super, super cold snaps, like motor oil freezes at that temperature. So we have to modify our cars in a special way. We call it winterizing, where everything that we have to be careful not to let it freeze, like the oil pan, for example, we have to install like a heater pad underneath those parts of the car. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I think that the transmission fluid also gets the same treatment, but I'm not positive. But yeah, definitely the oil. There's the oil pan heater is the main one. And basically what it is like you can just think of it as like a toaster, basically, like little heating elements underneath the bottom of it. And then the car gets modified with a plug out the front. And so then when you park the car, you have to plug the car into the wall to turn on the heater so that the heater keeps all of the necessary stuff in the engine block and, you know, just under the hood of the car in general, just keeps it from freezing. Because, yeah, that'll ruin your engine real fast if you try to start it up and it hasn't been plugged in.
Yeah, understand. It's also, you know, something what we don't use here because we don't have that low temperature. So it's really interesting. Wow. And what about the snow? I know that we talk about it because, like, there are no possibly way to build a snowman. It's so sad.
Right. Okay. Well, so there's a difference again. Like in Cordova, again, coastal town, a lot more humidity. It's normal. It's normal. Behaves like normal snow. Snowball fights, snowmen, all that stuff.
Yeah.
In Fairbanks, though, again in the interior, that area is what's classified as a subarctic desert, because it gets down to 0% humidity in the winter, which means there's no moisture in the snow, and with no moisture in the snow, it doesn't stick together. So
sure.
it has its pros and cons, because on the upside, that means it's extremely lightweight, so it's very easy to shovel. You can just get like a big like push scoop shovel and have like 2 or 3 feet of snow in the driveway and just push it off to the side. It's not heavy at all. But yeah, it also doesn't stick together. So if you try to have a snowball fight, like you reach down, pick up a handful of snow and pack it together, and it just goes... It's like throwing a handful of sugar at the other person, so it doesn't really work.
Nice. Snow like a sugar, so it's mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. Can be a nice name for a new song, you know? Snow like a sugar.
Yeah, okay. That's not a bad band name.
And what about your childhood? I know where you grew up, but said it to everybody. You grew up in...
Cordova.
Yes, uh-huh. But in radio station.
Oh, right.
That's why you talk
uh-huh.
really, really good. So.
Oh, well. No, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what to talk about because for me, that's just my life. That's just normal to me. But yeah, I have a picture on my phone that I could show you later that is me at like 3 months old with my dad's headphones on and with a mic in my face, right?
Nice.
I literally grew up around microphones and broadcasting and public speaking. And because it was such a small town, like my dad was the guy who did, like, anytime there was something that needed public announcements, or we talked about the term MC the other day, anytime there was an event that needed an MC or a DJ or something like that, that was always my dad. My dad was like the public speaking broadcaster guy for the whole town. Like,
wow.
he ran the talent show that we did every winter. He ran the annual like cleanup day announcements, the town cleanup day. And then of course there's the two radio stations in Cordova, which, my mom and dad bought, when they were around my age, actually, I think around 25, they moved to Cordova from Fairbanks. They moved from Fairbanks, where my grandparents lived, to Cordova and bought the radio stations down there. So yeah, I had my dad and I did a show called Swap Shop, starting when I was about 6 or 7, I think. That was like a local, like people could call in and advertise stuff that they wanted to sell. It was like a townwide garage sale, basically. Like people could just put up ads on that show for whatever they were trying to, like the tagline was, call us and let us know anything you want to buy, sell, trade, barter, swap, or give away, right? that was what we said every time on the show.
Nice.
So that was my first taste of actually being on the air regularly. I mean, my dad had been having me record ads since I was much younger than that. Even when I could barely talk, like he would just tell me, okay, repeat after me. And he'd say one line at a time and I'd just say what he said. And then he'd cut it all up in an audio editor and turn it into one ad himself later. And then when I was 11, I had my own show for the first time.
You have your own show. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow.
Yep. It was called Friday Night Live, a parody of Saturday Night Live. Right. Uh-huh. And that was just me and a bunch of my, other preteen teenager friends, doing music by request. People could call in and request songs for an hour. And then in between, we would just goof around and talk about, you know, elementary schooler stuff. And just, it was fun because it was an experience for me to learn about like operating all of the different music equipment and mic equipment and stuff in the station at the time. And it, for a lot of my friends, it was their first taste of being on the air and, you know, learning how to interact with a microphone and, you know, public speaking setting for the first time. So yeah, that was a very cool experience. I still miss those days.
Nice. Really nice. Really nice. And later on, you have just your own YouTube channel, right?
Right.
A couple of years ago. Which age you started?
Well, I had wanted to try a YouTube channel. Like I'd been thinking about the idea ever since I was about 15. Didn't work up the courage to actually try it until I was until I had just turned 18, when I was in my last year of high school.
Sure.
And I had when I was a teenager, like that was like I got onto YouTube and started watching YouTube back in the original like Annoying Orange days, back like 2008, 2009. And then around 2011, 2012, 2013, that's when Let's Play Gaming really started to kick off on YouTube. And I very quickly became a fan of creators like PewDiePie and Markiplier and Jacksepticeye, a couple of others too, but none of them have really stuck around as long as those three, kind of the big three in the area. Because of a health scare that happened when I was 15, I ended up getting a wish with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which, if you don't know what that is, it's this nonprofit organization in the United States for, I think it's mostly for children, but adults can get access to it too in certain circumstances. I'm not positive exactly how it works, but it's mostly for kids, where kids who have a terminal disease or a very like a near-death experience. Like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, like basically tries to grant them a wish, as like basically literally like a genie coming out of a bottle, right? And saying, okay, if you could have one thing in the world that you wanted, what was it, right? And so my wish was that I wanted to meet Markiplier. It took a while to get that organized. I didn't actually end up meeting him until I was 19. I had already had my YouTube channel for a little over a year at that point, I guess. So I met him. I got a shout out from him, and because Markiplier is Markiplier.
Yeah.
In the space of one weekend, my subscriber count went from 150 to over 20,000.
So, wow. What?
Yeah.
20,000.
Yep. Uh-huh. It slowly died since then because I have not been doing a good job keeping up with a schedule as a content creator. I'm not a good YouTuber, but yeah, that was also very fun.
Wow. Wow. Like, wow. Okay. Okay. And what about like the general stuff? You know, you have to learn it. How you learned it?
Like learning how to...
Like how to make marketing, graphics, you know, design, how to talk, like
okay. Yeah.
Many things.
Well, it's funny you mentioned like the marketing and the design and stuff like that. I did just say I'm not a good YouTuber, and that is part of it. Like I was very much like the idealist, like just doing it for the art kind of YouTuber, right? And I did not pay attention to any of the marketing or the branding or getting my name out there or advertising or anything. Like the reason I knew how to talk, the reason I knew how to set up a mic and a camera. Well, like the camera, I didn't really know. I had to figure that out on my own. But the mic and the audio part, obviously, I had a pretty good handle on from a lifetime of growing up in a radio
sure.
station.
Of course.
But I had to just look up tutorials for how to set up a camera, how does lighting work, how does a Stream Deck work, what is OBS Studio, how do you take all of the video inputs and audio inputs and sync them all up and put them together in post, what's the difference between having all of that stuff sent to separate tracks and syncing it up and editing it later to put up in a video versus having to, like, the somewhat more complex process of having to have all of those things be perfectly synchronized and talking to each other so that they can work for a live stream, which I also did for a while eventually. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about living in the age of the internet, right? You don't have to go to a university or like a traditional education setting to figure this stuff out anymore. You can go to YouTube tutorials and kind of just figure things out through trial and error.
It's everything easy.
Yeah. Well, not easy, but like doable at least. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's definitely possible to figure it out. You just have to, keep trying basically. So yeah, I'm self-taught for most of what I did. And I mean, it, like, honestly, if you like, you spend 6 years doing anything, if you just keep trying and don't quit, eventually you will get good at it, right? There's a mentor of mine on YouTube. Like, I don't personally know the guy, but I just watch his stuff, and I think he's got a lot. Like, he knows what he's talking about philosophically. Alex Hormozy. I can't remember if he's taking this quote from somebody else or if it's just one of his sayings, but he says constantly that the way that you get successful at anything is to just spend enough trying that it would, like, spend enough time and effort trying that it would be unreasonable for you to not be good at it eventually.
Nice.
That's basically what it was.
Nice. Cool. Wow. Yeah. I have to agree, you know. And I'm on the way. I'm trying. And I'm keeping doing it. So what about nowadays? You know, what about now? Like, what is your life now? And how are your goals? And, you know, why you decided to even travel? You had a YouTube channel. It sounds like perfect life.
Okay, a couple things. firstly, it goes back to that health scare that I talked about earlier. When I was 15, it was my first year of high school, I was going to the annual jazz fest performance with mm-hmm. the jazz band, which is like the jazz band is like the elite band. And I was a freshman in there. So I was extremely nervous because it was just me and a group of mostly juniors and seniors. And I was the second chair drummer, and it was also going to be my first time performing on stage as part of like not just a school band, but a band that I actually had to try out for, right? So there was expectation that I would be good at what I was doing and not mess up. There were a lot of factors that went into this. Medically, we still don't really 100% understand what happened, so I won't go into the details too much. But after the performance, after we had packed up as we were going out of the auditorium, something happened and I just hit the ground and died. Heart attack on the spot. Yep. So nobody knew what was going on. At first, they thought I was having a seizure of some kind. Thankfully the concert hall was only 5 minutes away from the Volunteer University Fire Department. So they came out with the defibrillator and shocked me back to life.
Oh my God.
I was dead for a good like 5 or 10 minutes. That kind of changed my perspective on life in a couple of ways from that point. First of all, before then I had been wanting to get into the Air Force. I had wanted to join the United States Air Force, but after the heart attack happened, I had to have surgery and have a defibrillator put in, an implanted defibrillator.
Yeah.
This one isn't here anymore. I have a second model down here because the wires on the first one wore out, but having this meant that I wasn't eligible for basic training, so I couldn't join the military. So I had to decide on a new goal from there. And like I say, because I was, when I was a teenager and I was really obsessed with these YouTubers, I decided that's where I wanted to go instead for that at that point. Wow. I mean, it's hard to condense all of this down into anything that's concise, but essentially, having come that close to dying made me realize that, well, first of all, life is too short and fragile to be afraid of chasing whatever your dreams are, what they really are. A lot of people just get paralyzed by, and again, I'm going to paraphrase Alex Hormozy again here, but a lot of people live in constant fear. They live constantly staring into the reflection of what they think everyone else would think about them should they fail, right? People don't try to chase their dreams because they're afraid that everybody else will laugh at them if they try and can't do it, right? That's an extremely common fear. But after what happened to me, I kind of just got to the point where I was like, I've been dead. What do I care if people laugh at me? I'll just figure something else out to do. Like what matters is that you try. And because for a long time, like the doctors didn't know what happened to me. They still don't fully understand what happened to me. So at that point, we didn't know if it was going to be a recurring condition, if it was ever going to happen again at some point. So like, you know, people say live every day like it's your last, but I really actually was and have been ever since that happened. So I don't see the point in waiting and wasting time when there's something you know you want to do, or people that you know you want to spend time with, or time that you know you don't want to waste. It's not worth it because life's too short. So go for it. As far as I'm concerned.
Awesome words, actually. Amazing. Well,
thank you. That being said, like I say, the YouTube thing did not really work out because I didn't understand marketing. I didn't understand search engine optimization. I didn't understand all of this stuff that's happening under the hood that nobody ever talks about, right? Because YouTube loves to tout themselves as like the epitome of the American dream. Anybody can just come and upload content, and if the content is good, then people will come watch it and you'll get famous, right? When that's not how it works. You have to understand all those business aspects underneath the surface too, and I didn't understand that when I was a dumb teenager. So starting right as the pandemic was starting to lift up, I kind of decided to step away from YouTube for a while because that wasn't working. I went and worked at the TV station in Fairbanks for a while. I was the producer for the Fairbanks Morning News for almost a year, because at that point I had a lot of experience with video and audio editing, right?
Yes, sure.
Didn't really find that I liked that job, because it was way too much just doing the same thing every day and almost no creative
stereotype.
Almost no creative freedom at all.
Routine.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Too much sameness day after day. So
understand.
After that, I basically quit that and just found the best paying job that I could with my limited resume, which ended up being working as a janitor at the gym. Did that for a couple of months, scraped together some savings, and then combined that with the inheritance that I got from my grandfather after he passed, and decided that I was just going to go on a trip to Europe, to nowhere in particular, just kind of play it by ear and see where the wind takes me. And
adventure.
Yep, exactly. Go on an adventure, meet new people, get to experience new cultures, try to break free of some of the conservative American biases that I was sure I probably still had that I wasn't aware of. And also try to learn programming along the way, because the goal, like I say, is at this point is to just like have the freedom to be able to go where I want, when I want. And being a software engineer is the best option that I can tell right now, at least, for basically just being able to work from wherever I have an internet connection. Someday I would like to be able to, the dream is I want to set up like a YouTube Twitch content creation studio in like a camper or a mobile home, like soundproof the inside of it, and then just be able to drive that anywhere. Like, I don't know if Starlink is fully up and running by that point, put a Starlink dish on top so I can just have Wi-Fi anywhere in the world.
Right? Nice.
And just explore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea. Wow. So, it's very cool. I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the dream. Gradually working towards that. One day at a time at this point.
Really nice, really nice. And I know that you are just a couple of weeks here and you have to go back to States, to America, back to home. Mm-hmm. So what is your plan then?
Tomorrow I am going to be getting a bus and then a plane down to Padova in Italy to visit a friend who, speaking of YouTube, he was actually my editor for a while.
Really?
Yeah, that's how we met. He was one of my earliest and most enthusiastic fans right after the Markiplier shout out happened.
Wow.
And then we got to talking in the comments, and one point I made a video talking about how I was having a really hard time keeping up with the daily grind of trying to put out a 10 to 15 minute highly edited video every single day, 7 days a week, and how that was starting to get to me. After a while. So, Lucas reached out and offered to help me start editing. So that's how we kind of went from more of like a follower and creator relationship to a friends relationship. And then he was one of only two friends that I had before coming over here who lived in Europe. So I was like, okay, well, that's a good enough place to start. I want to work towards going and meeting the few people who actually live over here that I already know, right?
Nice.
And we've been trying to make that work for months and have never been able to find a good time because he's been looking for a house basically the whole time that I've been over here. But yeah, we finally managed to find just a little bit over a week that I could squeak in a visit to him before I fly back over to the States. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Nice. Finally, personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Face-to-face meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You.
Yep.
Very cool. And the plan later, you know, when you come home, so you will try to keep moving in studying in programming or...
Definitely want to keep moving forward with programming. I might try to get back into YouTube and Twitch a little bit if I can. I've been thinking about trying to do some voice acting or some narrating for audiobooks or something like that. Just
cool.
I really want to lean into the freelancer digital nomad
That's the future.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and traveling.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. That's
and
the whole.
maybe last question, which country you would like to visit the most? Difficult question, I can see.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean,
You can say more countries, okay? Not just the only one. Go
yeah,
for it.
well, I've certainly enjoyed my time here. I haven't really gotten to visit a whole lot of countries while I've been here this time, and honestly, I don't like I'm terrible about doing research beforehand. Like I say, kind of my whole plan has been to just not have a plan. So I don't know that I particularly have a favorite country or even particularly a bucket list of which ones. Like I kind of just make friends and then go visit those friends. Like you know, the reason that I'm here in the Czech Republic right now is just because I met you and Denny. So
Thank you. It's really nice. We appreciate it too, you know. It's wow. So cool. So without plan, without bucket list, just exploring and having fun and adventure. Great. Thank you so much that you were a guest in my podcast.
Yeah, of
And
course.
I'm sure that it's not our last time. Maybe in summer I can come to Alaska.
Ooh,
In the winter, no, because minus 50, it's gonna kill me. So So maybe during the summer where it's nice weather, so, and we can switch it, you know? You will be the MC, as you say, and I will be the guest. Ooh,
All right.
that's gonna be cool. But you will be famous till that time, so I'm not sure if you will have a time to do it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, my track record makes that real likely.
Great. Thank you one more time.
No, thank you. Yeah, I was happy to be here. Thanks.
It's heavy for me to have you here. It's really nice. Thank you so much. And I hope you enjoy this episode, this special episode, and you understand everything, of course, because Jake talking really nice English. And I hope we see you again in another English episode. I have to find another English speaking guest. And just keep watching my YouTube channel, my podcast, Money on Air. You can find it also on the Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. So you can also hear it there. So see you soon and bye bye. Mějte se krásně a budu se těšit u dalšího dílu Money on Air. Ahoj! Všechny epizody podcastu Money on Air si můžete poslechnout na YouTube channelu Money on Air, také na Spotify a Apple a Google Podcasts. Nezapomeňte díly komentovat, sdílet a inspirovat se. Je něco, na co jsem se nezeptala? Dejte vědět do komentáře pod videem.